जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन जारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम 12th कैंटो चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द सिम्टम्स ऑफ कलियुगा टेक्स्ट नंबर 42। कथं सेयं अखंडा भू पूर्वैर्मे पुरुषैर्धृता मत्पुत्रस्य च पौत्रस्य मत्पूर्वात्वं वंशजस्य वा कथं सेयं अखंडा भू पूर्वैर्मे पुरुषैर्धृता मत्पुत्रस्य च पौत्रस्य मत्पूर्वा वंशजस्य वा कथम सेयम अखंडा भू पूर्वैर्मे पुरुषैर्धृता मत्पुत्रस्य च पौत्रस्य मत्पूर्वा वंशजस्य वा। कथम सेयम अखंडा भू वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग्स कथम हाउ स इयम दिस सेम अखंडा अनबाउंडेड भू अर्थ पूर्वैहि बाय द प्रीडिसेसर्स मे माय पुरुषैहि बाय द पर्सनालिटीज धृता हेल्ड इन कंट्रोल मत्पुत्रस्य ऑफ माय सन च एंड पौत्रस्य ऑफ द ग्रैंडसन मत्पूर्वा नाउ अंडर माय स्वे वंशजस्य ऑफ द डिसेंडेंट वा और Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The materialistic king thinks this unbounded earth was held by my predecessors and is now under my sovereignty. How can I arrange for it to remain in the hands of my sons, grandsons and other descendants? Purport. This is an example of foolish possessiveness. The purport is over. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्रीराधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। गुड मॉर्निंग एवरीबडी, वेलकम टू द मॉर्निंग भागवतम क्लास, बोथ ऑनलाइन एंड रियल टाइम ऑडियंस। Translation once again. The materialistic king thinks this unbounded earth was held by my predecessors and is now under my sovereignty. How can I arrange for it to remain in the hands of my sons, grandsons and descendants? This chapter is entitled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga. And yesterday's lecture by Nityanand Charan Prabhu was also very apt to the point. Speaking of kings, I am reminded of three wishes of the king Alexander. He had, before dying, he died very early at the age of 32. And he told that, "I have three wishes after I die. One of them is, my physicians should carry my coffin." His doctors should carry. The second one was, spread all my wealth in front of my funeral possession. And third was, keep my hands dangling out of my coffin. Normally this is not, I mean, nobody's hands are kept dangling out of the coffin. So, basically he wanted to express, I mean, he had kept people who could explain these three things, that no matter how expert the physicians are, if our life is not intended to be continuing, then it does not, I mean, they cannot extend it even for a moment. I'm just reminded of a small story, I don't know from where is it, but it makes the point. There was a pigeon one time moving around a city, and then he saw death coming behind him. So he was very afraid and he was kind of running here and there. And then Garuda came and told him, why are you so afraid? He said, death is following me. So Garuda said, no problem, I will take you beyond seven mountains and seven seas, so death won't be able to come. And Garuda takes that pigeon on his back and transports him. And as soon as the pigeon reaches there, the pigeon dies. And then the death comes by the corner. The Garuda asks, how is it possible that he died over here? Death was saying that, I was also wondering, how is it possible that the pigeon is intended to die beyond seven seas and he can never be flying over there with his own power? So, to make the point that if our time is over, then it's over. The second one meant, spread the wealth, all my wealth in front of the funeral possession. He meant was that we come empty-handed, we go empty-handed. Not to say that person should not have ambitions. It is natural to have a thought of security and progressing in life. But when things go beyond the ethics or beyond morality, ambitions go beyond our physical limitations and bodily, then it turns into sinful. So the spreading the wealth is, he's mentioning that we come empty-handed, go empty-handed, and in the meantime we claim that this is mine. That was one. And hands dangling also meant that no matter how big or how big position, wealth in the society we attain, it ultimately nothing, we just go empty-handed. So we see that material possessions are temporary. Even Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings, Manas deho geho jo kichu mor arpilu tua pade nanda kishor. I was searching this word because the purport has this word, this is foolish possessiveness. So I just search for possessiveness in the Veda base, not knowing what else to do. So Prabhupada mentions that it's not wrong. Everywhere I found just one thing. Prabhupada is saying that he's quoting this shloka, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatharam Upayunjita Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Uchyate. Prabhupada is saying, he's mentioning that we should just give up everything. He's mostly saying that the possessions should be used in the service of Krishna. And not only this is what Bhakti Vinod Thakur as a householder is saying, there's a shloka which comes in the second canto, fourth chapter, second verse. It starts with, Atma Jaya Suta Agara Pashu Dravina Bandushu. I'm not quoting the whole shloka. So these are about seven items. Atma means the body and the mind. Jaya means wife. Suta means children. Agara is house. Pashu, Prabhupada writes in the purport, nowadays Pashu can be meaning vehicles with a good horsepower. Previously there were horses. And Dravena is Lakshmi, money, and Banduchu is relatives. So normally, this verse is actually mentioning how Parikshit Maharaj was able to transcend all these six or seven items and get detached at the end of life. I was just thinking also that out of these seven, for a person, for a sadhaka or renounced order of life, he does not have Jaya, Suta, Agara, Pashu, Dravina. Bandushu is little bit there, the ashram mates. So, these six compartments are actually empty. What are the worries for a householder? Naturally, there are thoughts in the mind about all this. So, these six other compartments are empty. So, if the person does not fill rest of these with Krishna, then he is going to fill with the first one, Atma, my mind and body. What's happening, what's the digestion, what's the condition. So, in relation to possessions, normally, mind craves and slaves for what we do not have. In relation to this, I am just reminded small thoughts on this by Shubhvilas Prabhu. He mentions that a person has two types of victories, a public victory and private victory. Public victory is something which everyone can see. His power, his position, his money, all that, all the successes which he can achieve in this world. And private victory are things which money can't buy. And nobody knows about it actually. It's even the relationships which actually make person happy. And everyone wants to have good relationships. And every relationship, in every relationship, there is going to be some kind of struggle and extending oneself. In this connection to this, there is an incident in Ramayana when Marich comes to lure away Lord Sri Ram. Not exactly lure away, but he wanted to, he was assisting Ravana. So Mother Sita, she tells Lakshman out of concern, because at the end there is Lord, the sound is as if Lord Ram is calling for Lakshman. Hey Lakshman. Mother Sita, out of concern, she tells Lakshman to go. So Sita has concern for Lord Ram, and Lakshman has confidence for Lord Ram. He says he does not need me. He is himself the Lord. He does not at all, he can take care of all that golden deer. But then very harsh words are spoken to Lakshman. And then Lakshman says, I know, I am going. You are doubting my character. But I know that when I will be back, you will be not there. He goes there and Lord Ram tells him, what are you doing over here? I told you not to leave that kutir. So at this point, a normal person, now we see in Ramayana, Lakshman is portrayed as a angry young dashing man. Like when Bharat's army was coming, he was ready to retaliate immediately. Of course, that is his intense love for Lord Ram. So then at that time, Lakshman could have said, enough is enough. I am packing my bags and going to Ayodhya. No more of this. You guys are just... one is doubting my character, one is doubting my competence. But then he pressed the pause button. Now pause button is what? He actually contemplated that I have lived with Lord Ram for 40 years, with Mother Sita for 25 years. Do they really mean what they say? It's not that Mother Sita meant what she said. Nor did Lord Ram actually meant what he's saying. So these are some questions which we can ask when we are in troublesome situations. Normally, the case with most people is they don't even know where is the remote control. What to speak of pressing the pause button. Once the mind is agitated and we are disturbed, it's very difficult to press the pause button or basically think of all the good things, all the, I mean, gratitude which one has invested in the relationship. Normally, people just break up in a moment, as they say, what's this, love at first sight and divorce at first fight. So, why this is happening, I was just thinking about it. We see that people are not able to communicate. Even if they communicate, they can't connect. There are two more incidences from Mahabharata. One time, as we know the story of Jayadrath, Arjuna took a vow that tomorrow I'll kill Jayadrath. And as soon as Jayadrath heard this, he said, I'm going home. I don't want to die. I'm leaving the battle of Kurukshetra. But Kauravas knew that in any case, if Jayadrath is not killed, Arjuna is going to commit suicide, jump into fire. And if he is killed, then also Arjuna is going to die, because Jayadrath has a benediction by his father that anybody who drops his head on the ground will die. So then they somehow told, don't worry Jayadrath, we are going to protect you. And you stay right at the back of our army. Like there was a sea of whole Kaurava army and Jayadrath was right at the back. And then the war started. Arjuna was really fighting real hard. And by the afternoon, Krishna told Arjuna that your horses are tired. And if you don't give them rest, they are going to drop dead. They are just running across such a huge sea of soldiers. So at that point, Arjuna makes a wall of arrows and horses are there, and Krishna feeds the horses, massages them, he gives them grass, and then they continue with the war. In the meantime, Arjuna is fighting, taking care, and then they continue, and finally Jayadrath is killed. Of course, we all know that by Krishna's instruction, Arjuna didn't drop the head of Jayadrath on ground. He sent it to his own father's lap, who was meditating in the Himalayas. So it is his father who dropped the head. One more incident, and then I'll say a few words about this communication part. Shalya was one of the kings on the Kaurava side fighting. And Karna at one point became the commander-in-chief after Bhishma left the body. He didn't leave the body, but he was not fighting. So then Karna told Duryodhana that I need a charioteer like Krishna. And Duryodhana said, how can we get Krishna? Krishna is fighting on Arjuna's side. So then Karna said that this Shalya is a very good charioteer. He is a Kshatriya, he is a king, he is not a horse person. But then he told Duryodhana, somehow you convince Shalya. So Duryodhana, he went to Shalya, somehow he begged, he glorified everything, and Duryodhana was expert at words. So he convinced Shalya that become the charioteer of Karna. But naturally something against the will is not so conducive. So when they were starting off, Shalya said, So Karna, are you preparing to die at the hands of Arjun? Right at the beginning. So Karna said, you are a charioteer, don't speak too much, you just drive the chariot. So Shalya is saying, of course truth is always bitter to hear. It's like they are fighting right at the beginning, even before approaching Arjun. And then this Karna had a very special arrow, like if it hits, then the other person has to die. It was some special weapon. So he took the aim on Arjun when he was in front. And then Shalya said, wait a minute. I tell you from my experience, you aim at his chest, not at his face. And Karna said, once I take the aim, I don't change my aim. So Shalya said, come on, you're not like Lord Ram or something. You can change your aim. So he didn't change his aim. And then Karna shot the arrow. But Krishna, knowing what's happening, he pressed the chariot real hard with his feet, his own chariot. And horses sat down. And the arrow of Karna whizzed past Arjun's head, very missing by inches. And Shalya said, look, I told you. See what happened. So, and then Karna was finally killed in the battle. So what we see over here is that there are various needs of individuals. Karna, he wanted a loyal charioteer. And Shalya wanted some respect. Just some loving words. So people are able to communicate, but they don't connect. They don't understand what's the needs of other people. Especially, I was just thinking, why is it so much nowadays? It's mostly because of the electronic media. The movies, the media, and even the video games. How I got reminded, because I was talking with somebody, one of our ashram mates, and he mentioned video games, so I made a few statistics about it. So there is this one world's biggest gaming conference which happens in Los Angeles every year. Didn't take place this year. It's called E3. E3 stands for Electronic Entertainment Expo. And it's been going on since 1995, almost 25 years. There they display all their latest upcoming video games, their hardware, graphics cards, all the supported consoles. I mean the latest upcoming thing. And it didn't take place this year due to the pandemic. But the last year it took place in June 11. It takes place for 2-3 days in Los Angeles. So there was a study made. There were about 239 video games which were showcased. 239 titles. Out of that, 40% of them, 40% were non-violent. Not 40%, 40. Out of 239, 40 were the only ones which were non-violent games, like maybe sports or some deflecting a ball and things like that. That amounts for only 17% of the total games. And of these 239 or 240 games, only 7% of the non-violent games were from reputed companies like Microsoft, and others are just like small players, small companies which nobody ever plays. So basically, out of the whole gamut of electronic media, only 7% was non-violent. In fact, I myself never played any video games. Just a few to tell you something. We played that Samurai Brothers. It was a very, small thing. Okay. But it wasn't a violent game. I have heard nowadays they have games where the person is the word is a sociopath. He's a mentally deranged guy, and he goes about killing innocent bystanders. And I mean, it's and all these things get into the mind once you are into that thing. As Bhagavad Gita mentions, dhayato vishayan pumsam. So many of these media, not just games, but all the media, even the movies are getting more and more, not getting, already gotten. I don't know how much worse they'll be getting. Previously, I remember the action in Hindi movies at least was almost comical. Like, person is jumping to the top of the building, coming down, kicking, and again going to the top of the building. You won't see much blood or something. But nowadays it's so realistic. There are heavy graphics cards which display much detail. In this connection, I'm just reminded of, I'll just dovetail this thing, how people are affected by media. Before that, I just remembered there was a WhatsApp video which came. A husband and wife are sitting. They have gone out for a retreat. And they are sitting on a bench, and there's a nice scenery in front of them. Mountain and something like a fort or valley, clouds, greenery. And the husband is on his mobile doing something. Wife is trying to nudge him and say, look at the scenery, look at... He's just engaged in whatever, WhatsApp or whatever. So then she takes a photograph of the scenery and sends a WhatsApp to him. And then he opens the phone. Wow! Where did you get this? And then she says, look in front of you. you are seeing the photograph in the mobile. The real creator has created this scenery. Just a small comparison between Dhritarashtra and Vidura. Dhritarashtra was throughout his life feeling that he's blind, and that's why he could not become the king. Not only that, he also felt like when people told him, why don't you advise Duryodhan, or why don't you just give up on your son? He's such a wicked. It is seen that wherever there's a weakness, he said that I understand what are these instructions, but they don't stay in my heart. These are weaknesses. Wherever there is a weakness, there is a wicked person around to take advantage of. Whenever we have any kind of weakness, then there is a person who will take advantage of that, and he will use it. So then Dhritarashtra was feeling like that. He felt, why am I born blind? He wanted to be the king, but since he could not be the king, because it's natural, we see some movies where the blindfolded somebody is fighting a samurai, but it's naturally a very crippling thing. If you don't have your eyes working, then you can't be a king. So then, and in contrast was Vidura. Vidura also had his, just I would like to give an example, just like our life is like a game of cards. Now as devotees, we don't play cards, or we even don't even like to think about them. But usually in a card game, I'm just trying to make a point, we can relate it to this story, that we shuffle the cards and then we distribute it to the whoever are playing, and then it's called a hand. Like, what, there are some good cards, there are some bad cards. Every one of us gets in life such situations. Nobody can say that I have the best cards. Nobody can say that I have the worst of cards. And then how you play, that's how, depending on your cards, you can succeed in life. As we see over here, Vidura also had limitations. Although he was born in a royal family, he was a son of a maidservant. So he could never become the king. But then he did not take that limitation. Normally what happens when people have very high goals and they want to achieve it but they can't achieve it, then what happens is, first is they go into depression, that I am worth nothing. Like, I'm just reminded of, since this pandemic is going on, there are many patients who, when they get sick, they become so irritable that they trouble their caregivers so much that the caregivers become sick of them. It happens. And similarly, if in life person feels that I have not been given my fair share of opportunities, fair share of talents, fair share of whatever, there can be n number of reasons person can feel dejected. I didn't have a good born and brought up, I didn't have whatever. But then what happens if he keeps thinking like that, most persons get depressed and get suicidal. And worse, if a person goes into the opposite mode, he feels, I'm not happy, how can others be happy? And then he goes, like a genocide, killing others. That is even worse. So we see that Dhritarashtra wanted his son to be the king and enjoy through that. Ultimately, his weakness led to what? He had been given vision twice, actually. One time when Krishna showed the universal form, Dhritarashtra could see that. He could understand that this Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Second time when there was war of Kurukshetra, Vyasadeva had come and told that, if you want, I can give you the vision to see the Kurukshetra war. He said, no, give it to Sanjay. Because internally he felt, I don't want to see my sons dying. So he knew that this was what is going to be happen. So we see, and opposite is the case of Arjuna. He also had blurred vision in the beginning of Kurukshetra. when he cooperated with Krishna's instructions. Of course, I'm saying these things, it's very easy to say this from Vyasasana, but it does make some sense. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu gives one example, like if we can make things worse, suppose, for example, if there is this kurta and there's a button not working in this, so I can tear this kurta apart, which will be making things more worse. I'm giving a class and can't do this. And other thing would be to stitch that button, or at least put this button, since I'm just reminded of. So if you can make things worse, then you can also make things better by not making them worse. So similarly, in case of Dhritarashtra, and finally Vidur got the, empowered himself so much, overcoming his limitations. He became the minister. He saved the Pandavas from the fire. Even Bhishma, who was the biggest warrior and very senior to Vidura, used to take advice from Vidura, because he became so wise. He developed his Brahminical qualities like a Rajrishi. Not only that, at the very end, Vidura helped Dhritarashtra come out of his blurred vision by his words, by his talks. Usually, when this happens in life, whenever a person goes through a lot of problems, of course, problems are not the only thing which make a person turn to God. There is need for spiritual instructions. Just like when Nityanand Prabhu was being attacked by some gangs, these dacoits, so they fell in ditches, thorns were piercing them, and so many problems. And then by Nityanand Prabhu's mercy, they understood that this personality is a divine personality. He is not just like us, a human being. So similarly, it is said, experience is the best teacher, but a fool learns by no other way. So we don't have to have our situation going so bad that we finally turn to Krishna. It is natural for a devotee to have faith in Krishna, Asha Bandha. It is said that in Kali Yuga, the best hope is chanting the holy names. From my personal experience in life, I feel even more than chanting, the association of devotees is much more powerful. Although, because we witness so many of our staff, so many people, even in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, they just come, they are doing their jobs, but by association, gradually they also take up, we start seeing chanting bead bags in their hands, neck beads, slowly, just by association, they kind of, even the milkman who comes, the security, everybody starts getting influenced by association. Because at one point of a time, I actually, initial beginning days, I started chanting and started reducing it because there was no association. When I came in association again that kind of the plant revived and it started becoming green and again chanting. Even Srila Ramananda Rai says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the biggest pain is separation from devotees, separation from association. Because when we see, Kali Yuga mind is, in general, we see somebody staying like that, somebody waking up early, somebody putting the tilak, somebody putting dhoti, somebody having a shika. When we see people, so many people doing it, even if we are convinced, we finally rely on association to do that. I never thought I'll be becoming like this a saffron person. So in the end, I'll end with a couple of thoughts, then if there are some questions we can take, otherwise it's that I'll just summarize. Basically, we started, the translation says, what the purport says, this 8 words, this is an example of foolish possessiveness. I tried my best to. So we started with Alexander and his 3 wishes, how he mentioned physician should carry the coffin, wealth should be spread, and hand should be dangling. And then we saw how Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentions manas deho geho. It's not that we don't have to have possessions, or we have to, in general, we have to dovetail whatever we have in the service of the Lord. And we saw seven compartments, Atma Jaya Sutagara, which everybody has to fill up with Krishna as much as possible. And then we talked about public victory and private victory. Normally, quality of my communication with the world determines my success, but my communication with my inner world determines my happiness. So we need relationships in this regard. We mentioned three examples of Lakshmana and Arjun, Arjun and Krishna, the Jayadrath episode, and Shalya and Karna, their unique dialogues before the fight. And we saw about how, why people can't communicate so much because of the media and so much absorption in electronics. We talked about games which are out of it, like 7% are only the non-violent games. Most of the games are like how to fight and kill. That is the common. Yeah. And so, and then we finally took the example of Dhritarashtra and Vidura, how Dhritarashtra, we all have cards in life to begin with, a hand as it is called. There may be some good cards, some bad cards, and we have to understand what is our situation, and we can't become totally restless. Nobody is totally hopeless anywhere. I just remembered one example. Many years back, I used to do food for life. Whatever prasad is remaining in the evening in the kitchen, we used to go to Babulnath and other places. So, nobody told me what's the mood of the beggars. I just went there and I was shocked to see. They usually are just sleeping. Kya Maharaj, kya leke aaya? I was hoping they were be with their all the bowls. And then I used to say, khichdi. Kya Maharaj, khichdi lane ka? I was feeling these are hungry, or they already have full stomachs. They are not hungry at all for the day actually. I used to go around 8:30 or 9. So puri lane ka thoda chai ke sath kha sakta hai. because puri can last. Puri will last, but khichdi will get spoiled overnight. So like this. Why did I make this point? Yeah, nobody is totally hopeless. Everybody has his cards. They can, we can choose. And finally, I mentioned that how we can choose by not just our own material experiences, but association and chanting. Out of that, association is much, much more important. So, would like to end over here. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. I hardly give any classes. I am usually a Kartik Yatra stay back speaker, but this is this is COVID log stay back speaking. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.